in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Daniel, and we're in chapter 4. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. He said to let seven times pass over him. You might want to start by that verse because it talks about 7 years, and we'll realize a little connection to time, times, and then half a time. Okay, we get a little clue on these years, okay? 1 year, years, and then half a year. That's 3.5 years. We'll see it later in Daniel. But my point is that this is a little key for your pocket for later, because here it is being set before us. Let seven times pass over him, verse 17. The matter is by decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men. We've seen that in our generation. Base men being set up over full kingdoms. You might think of a Gaddafi and others, but base men. Base men. Base. Base just like a beast. Base men. He's still over it. He's going to be preserved, and he's going to show himself to be very base. It's almost like Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm going to disregard the dream that I had at first. I'm going to disregard the schooling I got at the fiery furnace that I saw. I'm going to disregard all that, and I'm just going to, okay, I'm going to just stuff that back in my heart and my mind. I'm going to put it in a box and live my life. And I was flourishing, and I was happy. Oh, man, life was good. It's funny because the Lord sometimes will let you go headlong into the nasty so that you'll be able to be shocked awake. That's what he did here with him. And that happens in people's lives spiritually. I hope anybody hearing this message that is not saved will wake up and realize you don't have to go so far. You can just run to Jesus now. Just do it. The Bible says in verse 18, it says, this dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now, therefore, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation. Verse 19 says that when Daniel heard it, he was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The word troubled him means to frighten him and alarm him. Why? Because when he tells the king what this means, he could be chopped in pieces. You're going to tell the king he's going to go down hard, he's going to have to lose everything, and he's going to be rooting around in the fields for 7 years? That's not the happy note. Even Nehemiah was worried about having a sad countenance in the face of his king. You don't have a sad face in the face of the king. You have a happy face. You smile. Everything's good. It's wonderful. Life's good. You don't want to be bothered with his cupbearer being sad. He was worried about that. Well, he's troubled. This is one of those. He's troubled. The last time, they were going to cut people just for not being able to do a miraculous thing like tell the dream and interpret it. This is one. He interprets it. He could be cut in pieces for interpreting it. A little contrast there. The Bible says it troubled him. And then he says, thy dream be to them that hate you, king, in verse 19, and to thine enemies. The tree that you saw grew strong in height, and the leaves were fair, and all of these things were wonderful. Everything was good. It is you, verse 22. It is you, O king. And you are grown, and you have become strong, and your greatness is grown, and the reach is unto heaven. Now that's an interesting thing because, guys, listen, when everything is met, you know, the hierarchy of needs, you know, food, clothing, shelter, and all that. When you get everything met, which we do in America more than any other nation on the face of the earth ever, across the board, every hierarchy of our needs are met. Now, that means that now we can begin to dance on some stuff that's bad. Like, for instance, our criticisms of church, or our criticisms of God, or our criticisms of religion. Those are all things that are dancing in the heavens. You get responsible for that stuff. When people have needs, sometimes they're reaching for God. They're saying, where is God? I need God. But in our prosperity, we forget God. And this has been going on for many decades, really. So what we're talking about here is the potential for each of us to have our sins or our influence reach under the heavens. Every time we buy a product, every time we make a comment in the open square, we are having an influence on other people. He says it is reaching unto heaven, and it says your dominion is to the end of the earth. And whereas you saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew down the tree, yet leave the stump, even a band of iron around it, and let seven times pass over it. This is the decree of who? Of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord, the King. They shall drive thee from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You will eat the grass like oxen. You shall be wet with the dew of heaven. And seven times shall pass over thee till thou know. Till you know that the Most High ruleth. Not gods, it's God. The Most High God rules. And you're going to know that. And he talks about it. He's going to know who God is. Verse 26 says, and whereas he commanded to leave the stump of the trees, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. And after that, thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. So he's letting him know. Now, when your world falls apart, like people are feeling like it's doing all around them, you know, it's not about you, okay? This is what God's doing in the grander scale. He's bringing the whole world to the reality that he is God. You're just one of the spectators, one of the audience, right? We're just here watching what's going on. It's something he told would happen. It's all over the scriptures. He told us this was going to be this way. Contrary to what Julian Lennon said, nobody told me there'd be days like, yeah, he did. He has a song. Strange days indeed, yes. But not strange to the believer in the sense of unfamiliar. We have been waiting for this. And we've seen it coming for a long, long time. Israel coming back in 1948, everybody's like, well, there you go. You know, the lost person's like, why are they doing that? And what's this all about? So that was just the beginning. And now things are reverberating and things are heating up. And the Bible says your kingdom is going to be left for you. And the Bible says it's going to be brought back to you. You will have known now who does rule the heavens. Now, in verse 27, it says, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be accepted. Break off your sins by righteousness. Now, this is a little note to self. If we talk about if my people pray, if my people which are called by my name, I'm not a believer that the entire nation is going to hell because the church is not holy. I think the church is holy. Those who are saved are holy. There's just not a whole lot of us left. And maybe we didn't witness as much as we should have. Maybe we've been distracted. But I think there's only a remnant of the church left now. 60% are slated not to open again when the shutdown happened. They were on the edge already. Many of us know churches that had like 6, 8, 10 people coming where the older folks were there and they were the only ones that came. But now we had a little bit of winnowing and the church itself is now being declared. Who are the rabble-rousers? Who are the ones we need to sue? Who are the ones we need to put in jail? And we've had a couple people who've been put on the chopping block out in California, especially with Newsom's great overreach that he did. So what we're looking here at is him telling us a little way to get past anything in our own lives. If there is a need for you to do a little circumspection, it says make a break with your sins. And how do you do that? By righteousness. The Bible says, let him who stole steal no more, but let him work, laboring with his hands, that he might be able to give. So that's righteousness, not just work. Don't just work. Righteousness. Do something good. And it says make a break with your iniquities by showing mercy. Interesting thing about iniquity, it literally has the idea of equal? What is unequal in your life? Where is it that you've allowed yourself, you know, a little wiggle room here because you've just kind of walked away and therefore you have iniquity? The Bible says, break off your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Now, I would just tell you that the poor in our world today need not be understood as people who don't have much money because that's hard to find in America. Oh, I know everybody thinks they're poor, right? They got cell phones and air conditioning and nice housing and all this. The devil has been very quick to take away the need to give alms to the poor because there's all kinds of help from the government which takes away gratitude, humility, and ennoblement to the person who gives. It's kind of hamstrung. But the poor truly are the lost people. Blessed are the poor in spirit. People know they're lost in spirit when they're doing their thing and they're green and everything and all of a sudden they're feeling a little shaken. Well, this world's being shaken. So there's a lot of people who are poor in spirit and they need to have mercy shown to them. And the way you get to them is by breaking off your iniquity, which is the things that you are maybe preoccupied with that are other than. Why do Christians not witness? Why is it that in 1 Thessalonians it talks about how they turned from idols to serve the true and living God, and that the gospel echoed out from them, and it just seemed as natural as, you know, jumping in the water and getting wet. What happened to that? Where did that go? Well, the Bible says, break off of thine iniquities and show mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Ultimately, it comes down and it says, this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He did have this experience. And subsequently, he was out in the weeds for 7 years, and the kingdom was departed from him. A voice came from heaven saying, the kingdom is departed from you, in verse 31. And in verse 32, it says that they drove him from the midst of the people. He did eat grass, and 7 years went past so that he might know, again, and know the Most High rules. How do you know God is God? It's through that adversity. He's in charge of everything. Verse 33, and the same hour was the thing fulfilled. His hair grew up like eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. But at the end of those days, he said, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. In verse 34, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. He's not unclear anymore, is he? Now, at the same time, in verse 36, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor, my brightness returned unto me, and my counselors, my Lord, sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, whose works are truth, and his ways are judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. There's the nut of his problem. Why did he go to those other counselors first? Because his pride. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So he called for his magicians first. Then he got to Daniel. Pride was the reason he wouldn't go to the Lord. Pride is the reason you don't go to the Bible. Pride is the reason that so much happens in our lives that doesn't need to. His works are truth. Everything God does right now, what's going on in our world, that's the work of God. And it is full of truth. The world is guilty, guilty, guilty. And we are being dealt with all across the globe. If God were to say, I let my eyes run to and fro throughout the earth looking for a nation, that'd be tough, right? There was a time when America had that going on, the bulk of it. Nobody's perfect, but if we're right with God and we were humble, we were blessed. And that's what happened in America. But not so much anymore. People celebrate all kinds of evil and immoral things. And he says, and his ways are judgment. His ways are judgment. His works are truth. Meditate on those this week. Works are truth and ways are judgment. That's a huge thing to ponder. But the Bible says, and those that walk in pride, he is able to basically level them. He can level them proud. Do you know the Bible says that in the end, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You and I are living on the cusp of some remarkable things. We need to take heart in the fact that God does brush up against people. He's doing it even as we speak. Hopefully there are people you know, people you love, people you want to see saved, people you want to make sure they're saved. They might have said they're saved, but you're not sure. This world is in upheaval, so we can rejoice in his ways being judgment, right? We are a people who are on top of this. And should be. Somebody said, how you doing? Good under the circumstances. Remember that? Everybody said, well, what are you doing under there? Believers should never be under the circumstances. We need to be above them. We need to see it from God's perspective. And when we do that, that is the exercise of wisdom. Seeing things from God's perspective. He is bringing people out of the mess. He's waking his church up. He's saying, go and tell your testimony before they don't have opportunity to hear it. Tell them your testimony before you're raptured out of here. Because some of them are going to need that word. This morning I've said to you that God has brushed up against him time and time again. But here it was, he had to go deep, didn't he? God's going deep on America and the rest of the world. And this morning I want us to ponder the realities of this on an international level. This is exciting, scary a little bit, yeah. But not because we don't know how it ends. It's just because we don't know where we're going to be standing when the earthquake comes. Don't fear. His eye is on the sparrow, so you know he watches you. Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. We hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.